Good morning, Graham, and welcome to Arts Canvas.
Good morning, Karina.
Graham, we've spoken before about the wonderful success of The Rosie Project, and now you've got another great book out, The Rosie Effect. Congratulations on the second book.
Well, thank you very much.
Now, The Rosie Project, of course, has taken off very well, hasn't it?
Yep, Sony Pictures have picked up the film rights, and we now have, we've sold rights in around 40 countries, so that's about 37 languages, and sold about 1.5 million around the world, so it's travelling very well.
It looks like it was a good idea to give up the day job, doesn't it?
It does. It wasn't too much of a gamble. Once the international rights started selling to The Rosie Project, I looked at it and felt I could actually make a living doing this.
So now, the all-important second book, The Rosie Effect, how's that going?
Oh, really well. It's only been out a short time. It came out just in the last week of September in Australia, the UK and Canada. So those are the first countries it's been released in. It'll be out in Germany and the Netherlands in October and the US in December. So there's a whole flow out happening. But it's already in the top 10 in Canada and likewise here. So I'm feeling pretty good about it.
Well, I have to tell you, it's The Rosie Effect and The Rosie Project are amongst the top 10 books at the local university bookshop. Now, I'm not surprised that it's very popular at universities, because it does sort of delve in a lot to sort of little bits about university life, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, Don's... I mean, really, the first book, The Rosie Project, is effectively set at the University of Melbourne, although we never quite say that. And the second book, Don is teaching at Columbia University in New York, and Rosie is studying there. So it's not quite a campus novel, because the action doesn't really happen on campus, but it's about people who are working in that world.
Lots of sort of interesting politicking machinations go along in that world, don't they?
Oh, they do. I mean, there's the politics of it. There's certain personalities flourish in a university environment where perhaps they would not do so well outside. And, of course, Don Tillman is a classic example of that. Don Tillman is a man with relatively few social skills, but who's intellectually very strong. And the university culture makes room for that type of person.
It also makes room for the sort of personality that Don Tillman sort of typifies, that of the slightly aspergic nerd.
Oh, I wouldn't say slightly aspergic. He's very clearly aspergic, I think. But you're right. There's a lot of room for the slightly aspergic as well for people on the spectrum, because largely it rewards the quality of your intellectual contribution rather than how well you necessarily get on with others.
Okay, now look, the character of Don Tillman, is there a little bit of yourself in there, do you think?
Oh, look, I'd say about 27%. Look, there's a bit of myself in every character. There's a bit of myself in the Jean character, although not the philandering part. There's a bit of myself in Rosie. As an author, you know, I borrow from the real world. Every character is something I've seen out there. It's a combination of things that I've seen. It's no particular individual. But inevitably, you put a bit of yourself into it. I think it'd be very hard not to. But if you want to be more literal about it, I studied physics originally. I worked in information technology. While I don't identify as being on the spectrum, on the autism spectrum, I'm certainly much closer to that, to the technology-oriented, object-oriented sort of view of the world than perhaps the more people-oriented side of it.
Well, of course, a lot of the comedy in The Rosie Effect, and of course in The Rosie Project as well, is based on the fact that Don Tillman has great trouble fathoming social mores. There'd be a lot of people out there who'd sympathise that with a little bit. I mean, we all feel a little bit bewildered by some of that, don't we?
Look, every one of us has screwed up in a social situation at some stage, has made a faux pas, has gone on a date and didn't pick what was going on and gone home and done the face palm thing afterwards. So there's a little bit of Don in all of us, and perhaps overall more often in men than in women. So, I mean, the response I get, you know, women who read the book, broadly speaking, laugh out loud and frequently say to me, oh, I know a man in my life, you know, be father-in-law, husband, son, who's just like Don or does so many things like Don. And then you get men reading it who say, well, you know, it's pretty reasonable when you think about it.
I found that the second book, The Rosie Effect, really even more than the first book, I could see it absolutely translating very well to screen. Did you write it with that in mind, seeing the first one's been optioned by Sony? Were you thinking like follow-up script?
No, I wasn't thinking about it being a film at all. Certainly the first book, The Rosie Project, was written originally as a screenplay, so obviously I had that in mind. But with the second book, although I used some of the techniques I'd learned from screenwriting for plotting, I never was looking at it and saying, how well will this convert to the screen? I just figured I wouldn't be writing the screenplay. That'll be somebody else's problem. I'm going to write the best book I can here.
Now, look, it looks like it's going to be one of those characters, though, that people get very fond of. So has it been suggested to you that this series continues?
Yeah. I mean, I hadn't even intended to write a second book, and I had actually started on a completely different novel before I found a way into this sequel. And I have to say, there was no pressure from the publishers. They were very accommodating in letting me go my own way. But I came back, I wrote the sequel, and now I think there's a third book there. But given the premise of the second book of The Rosie Effect is that Rosie gets pregnant, you know, it's a pretty logical conclusion without any spoilers as to what happens at the end of a pregnancy. So I figured that I'd like to leave it maybe about 7 years to allow the family situation to develop and then revisit Don, Rosie and whatever and come back to it. So I would look at writing probably two books in the intervening period.